to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Leviticus with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of Leviticus, Pastor Dave will be taking us through chapter 8, starting in verse 22, through chapter 10, ending in verse 3, where we see that putting our expectations in anyone besides Jesus will eventually let us down. However, if we keep our faith, trust, and expectation in Christ alone, God will not only never leave you, but He will see you through even the darkest of times. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in chapter 8 of Leviticus.
All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to Leviticus chapter 8. If you'd like to borrow a Bible, the fellows in the back will get one right to you if you raise your hand. We're going to kind of wrap up Leviticus 8 here rather quickly and get into chapter 9 and at least the beginning of chapter 10. Some exciting things that lie before us here. In chapter 8, it's been a couple of weeks, we saw the consecration or the inauguration of the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, and we saw the basis of their ministry begin here. And where we left off a couple of weeks ago, remember, was there were Aaron and his boys, as they are the priesthood, those who would stand on behalf of God for the people of Israel, or on behalf of the people of Israel to God. They were applying the blood of the sacrifices from their head down to their toes, speaking of full consecration. Just, God, I want to be completely set apart. I want to be completely yours. So just because we ended in sort of an awkward spot, let's back up to verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 8 and just read those verses that we've already covered, again, a couple of weeks ago, just to kind of help refamiliarize ourselves with the text here. It says this in verse 22, Leviticus chapter 8, "And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it," verse 23, "and Moses took of the blood, and he put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he," verse 24, "brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about." And certainly here what we see in this text is not just Aaron, but even his sons now. I think as parents, don't we all want that very thing? God, I don't want to just consecrate my life to you. I want my boys or my girls, whatever it is that you have. I want their lives to be consecrated to you also. That's so important if you're a Christian parent, I believe, that Jesus, take their lives too. Lord, I want them to know you, and I want them to want to know you and to want to love you. As John said, there is no greater joy for a parent than to see their children walking in the ways of the Lord. Amen. Us parents, isn't that what we want in this crazy, evil, wicked world? Just, I want to see my son, my daughters be used for God. I'm already praying over their lives every single day. I'm already praying, God, I already see gifts in their lives that the Lord has given to them. And Lord, cultivate those gifts. Help me to cultivate those gifts, God. They're my arrows. The scriptures call children our arrows. Lord, help me to help them hit that target right on bullseye, Lord. I wanna be used to shape their lives and to form them, Lord, according to your perfect will, so that they too one day say, God, take all of me. Take all of me, Lord, and use me for your glory. Not just my life, not just Shauna's life, but I want Olivia, Stella, and Charlo to say one day, God, here I am. Use me. And I think that should be every parent's desire and heart, like Job, that we'd rise up early and pray and make sacrifice, so to speak, for our children before they're even out of bed. God, bless them in school today. Give them strength in school today. Give them strength in work today, God. Give them what they need to live for you, to profess your name, to not shy away from opportunities to witness for you. And I think so many times parents come down on their kids and they're condemning them and they're in their face pointing their finger at them and threatening, you're going to be grounded, keep it up, and how could you, and I would never. But are you praying for them? Are you faithfully interceding for them and loving on them and showing them Jesus? How this must have blessed Aaron's heart in verse 24 here, as his sons were presenting themselves to the Lord just as he was. Man, I can't wait one day. I hope my kids do the very same thing. Dad, we want to serve, not because you're the pastor, not because you said we have to, but because we want to. Oh, what a privilege. And in verse 25, he took the fat here. We continue on through this chapter. And the rump and all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder. And out of the basket, verse 26, of unleavened bread that was before the Lord. He took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands, verse 27, and upon his son's hands, and he waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took, verse 28, them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the breast, verse 29, and he waved it for a wave offering before the Lord. It says in the middle there, for the ram of consecration, it was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. I think it's like a dozen times we hear that phrase in this chapter, as the Lord commanded Moses. That theme will develop as we move into chapter 9. Verse 30 here, it says, and Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar, and he sprinkled it upon Aaron. Remember again that without the oil and the blood, Aaron's just wearing an expensive getup. That's all that it is. You know, I was looking today, I was reading an article about the Pope and his retirement here, and I was looking at what he was wearing, and I was just thinking to myself, man, how much of that is just phony baloney? And it's just ritualistic routines that were developed by man. And there he is in this gown and this big old hat thing and just looking really silly, honestly. Because it might be expensive and it might be costly garments, but if there's no anointing of the Holy Ghost and blood of Jesus Christ applied to a person's life, that's all that it is. It's just a costume. And that's the case here with Aaron, as we've mentioned in the weeks past, that without the blood and the oil being applied, speaking of the Spirit of God, he's just wearing costly garments. That's it. I don't know about you guys, but that's not going to suffice for me. I don't care about anything else other than having heavenly gifts upon my life, being used for the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything else is just ridiculous. It's phony. And it says here in the middle of verse 30, that upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and they sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. So no longer were their clothes to be used or worn for just everyday activity. These were specifically used, designed to be an outfit for service for the Lord here. And Moses said in verse 31 unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I have commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. And that which remains of the flesh, verse 32, and of the bread shall you burn with fire. And you shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at the end. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. Remember, seven is the number of what, church? Completion or perfection. And so 7 days, I want you in totality. I mean, that's always the message of God. It's always the message of God to his people. I don't want just your upper body portion. I don't want just your lower body portion. I want all of you. I want you completely. He's always wooing us unto himself, isn't he? He's always challenging us. Every time we come to church, there should always be something that is said, man, where God is stripping us of the flesh. He's stripping us of areas in our lives where our fingerprints are still on. He's saying, I want all of you. I want every bit of your marriage. I want every bit of your parenthood. I want every bit of your business, of all of your life, of all of your activity. I want every bit of your thoughts. I want every crevice of your heart. I don't want there to be any dark spots there. I want to take up all of you. I want to completely invade your life if you'll let me. I want everything. 7 days, completely, totally. I want to be yours and I want you to be mine. I want there to be such a union here. Why? Because as long as you're walking in the light, as he is the light, there's perfect fellowship. And that's all that God has ever longed for. That's what these chapters are all about. For the very first time since the Garden of Eden, God is about to inhabit, literally, he's going to be in the midst of his people. For the very first time, he's saying, listen, I want to be in your camp. He's going to be in their camp. I want to be the first thing that you see in the morning and the last thing that you see before you go to bed at night. I want to be your all in all. And the message hasn't changed thousands of years later. It's the same to you and I tonight. God's saying, I want all of you tonight. I want every area of your life. The areas that are defiled, the areas that are ugly, the areas that people have said that's disgusting, it's grotesque. God says, I want that. I want every bit of your life. And so long as you keep giving and yielding to me, I can keep blessing you. And I can keep giving you further revelation of who I am. And isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that why you're here on a cold, dreary winter night? Because you want more of Jesus? I mean, you're here tonight, I would think, I would believe, or I'd like to believe, you're here because you want more of the King. And he's saying, I want to give you so much. I want to call you out of the shallow and into the deep. And I want to completely see you submerge into the holy water of my word. I want to see you just be entrenched with it, my presence, my spirit. But I'm asking you, are you willing to completely, entirely, in totality, give me yourself? I surrender all, but do I? He's always going to challenge us. It doesn't matter if we're in Leviticus or Romans or Revelation. The message is always the same. Old Testament or New Testament, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the message of the cross never changes. Jesus Christ died to have all of you, not just some of you. He wants every bit of your life, every measure of your life. And what blows me away is this, is that he wants me. What blows me away is that he wants me. As defiled as I am. As carnal as I could be, that Jesus wants me and he wants you too. But he's a gentleman. He'll wait till you say, Lord, you can have me. He never forces himself on anybody. He's a perfect gentleman. And it says in verse 34, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do to make an atonement for you. Therefore, verse 35, you shall abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night, 7 days, there it is, and keep the charge of the Lord that you die not, for so I commanded. So the Lord's interest for you is always the best. I don't want you to die. Listen, just obey me. This is it. The key to life is just obey God. It's really that simple. If we would just obey the precepts found in his word laid out for us. And not just have it in our heads, but allow it to drip down into our hearts. And wisdom, right, is the proper application of knowledge. That we would just walk in his ways. That's it. He can bless us. Listen, God's saying, here's the roadmap for life. Basic instructions before leaving earth. If you'll just walk in these ways, I could just absolutely shower you my blessings. And I can keep you from harming yourself because you're your own greatest danger. Iraq, Iran, the president, this state, this nation, that's not your greatest danger. You're your own greatest danger. God said, I just want to protect you from yourself. I don't want you to die because I know if you break my commands, it's to your own detriment. I can spare you and protect you from those things, but I need you to yield your life to me. I love the Lord. I love his heart towards us. He's so attractive, honestly. Every time I open his word, isn't it the truth for you? Your jaw drops. He's just such a good God, amen? And you just read about what he says. It's just so practical. I mean, we can bring a fourth grader up here tonight. He can do my job. You just read the Bible. No one even needs to say anything. It's just absolutely wonderful. Just learning of him and his heart towards us. I just want to keep you from harming yourself. I want to keep you from doing stupid things. I want to keep you from death. So walk in my ways. Do what I'm asking you to do. That's all I'm asking. I'll tell you what to do. You don't have to try to figure it out. I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be as clear as day. Just obey. So amazing. So Aaron and his sons did all things. I like it. Which the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. They did all things. I would say this. Obedience is the best preparation for service. They're getting ready to serve the Lord. Their inauguration is taking place. They're going to be the priesthood of Israel. And obedience, doing as the Lord commanded a dozen times or so in this chapter, is the best preparation for their service, my service, and your service. Just simply obeying the Lord. So we move into chapter 9 now, and we saw the basis of their ministry in chapter 8. Now in chapter 9, we're going to see them begin their ministry. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 9, it came to pass on the eighth day. 8 is the number of what? Who knows? New beginnings. Because the eighth day is really the first day, isn't it? There's 7 days in a week. The eighth day is another way of saying the first day. It's a number of new beginnings here. And I'm sure that Aaron was appreciative towards it. This is the golden calf maker. This is the man who blew it greatly. The man who is now the high priest of Israel or becoming that. But just a few weeks ago, we saw him being the one leading Israel into idolatry and orgies and drunkenness. And now we come to the eighth day, a day of new beginnings. And I think that Aaron's thinking, oh, this is good. His mercies are new this morning. Great is his faithfulness. Don't you feel that way? I mean, I know I do. I really do. I know one of my first thoughts every single day when I get out of my bed is, thank you, God. In this sense, it's the eighth day. Every day is the eighth day with you, Lord. It's a day of new beginnings. My slate is clean. All my mess-ups and slip-ups and failures of yesterday and the days before yesterday, they're wiped away, God, and I get a brand new slate. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't no one, you don't have this relationship with anybody else. I don't know why you guys are being so stoic looking right now. No, your wife doesn't say to you guys, oh, you're out of the doghouse. You've been good for a few days. Please, you messed up. You know you've been bad anyways. And then you're right there. One more thing. She knows. She doesn't forget. You don't wake up and fight with your wife the night before, wake up the next morning, and she's got breakfast in bed waiting for you. She's just waiting. You say or do one more, I dare you, right? Tread that. Come over here and say something. I dare you to say something. You don't have those types of relationships with people. Your boss, you mess up at work. Oh, you blow a project at work or something. You don't go into work the next day and he's got coffee and donuts waiting at your desk for you. You're walking in some dangerous waters. Treading some dangerous waters. But with the Lord, it's like, he chooses to forget. It's over. What I love about the Lord, check this one out real quick. I was so condemned Monday night. After prayer meeting, I went home and I just, all internally, nobody else knows about what I did or what happened, but just some thoughts and things in my heart, it was bad. And I was so condemned because I was like, Lord, I got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. And I remembered right away what I did and my thoughts, just things that I let go on in my heart and in my mind before I would sin. Because remember, as Christians, I don't have to sin. When I sin, I choose to sin. I want to sin. And I remember thinking, oh man, Lord, those thoughts, oh, I'm not even going to talk to you. I'm not even going to apologize to you, God, because I can't believe that I allowed these things to take place in my inward being right after prayer meeting. I got to meet with this person tomorrow morning and counsel them from your word. What a joke. I am so condemned, so beat up. It's so wonderful to remember that, oh, he chose to forget. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about. It's a new day. And his mercies are new. Isn't it wonderful? His faithfulness towards you. When you wake up tomorrow morning, it starts all over again. Unbelievable. The eighth day, I like it. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Every single day. It's so amazing. It is a hallelujah and an amen because God is good. God is good. I like that he says this here. He didn't have to say that. The Holy Spirit had Moses pen that, the eighth day. There are not 8 days in a week. Thank you, Jesus, for the eighth day. It's the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron in verse 2, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel, verse 3, you shall speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering. Also a bullock, verse 4, and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord and a meat offering mingled with oil for today. End of verse 4, the Lord will appear unto you. I mean, what was this like? Imagine this. Imagine this announcement. Imagine if I was saying to you guys tonight, all right, guys, here's the announcement about Scott. Here's the announcement of Dave. And by the way, on Sunday, Jesus Christ will be here physically. We're going to see, he's going to manifest himself to us. Imagine this. Imagine how hard their heart was pounding. I mean, if football causes my heart to pound hard and sports causes Jesus should cause my heart to pound all the harder, shouldn't he? He should excite you. Man, I can feel the blood pumping in my veins right now. Jesus, can you imagine? He's going to appear unto you. He's going to manifest himself to you. And I believe that the Lord was rewarding their obedience. They obeyed to the T all through chapter 8. As God was laying out the basis of their ministry, and now they're beginning their ministry in chapter 9, I believe that God was honoring those dozen times or so where it said, the Lord commanded, they did. The Lord commanded, they did. I believe God said, I'm going to reward you for that now. He always does that. Whenever we obey the Lord, we open the door for him to bless us. We give him opportunity. We clear the path for God to bestow his blessings on his beloved, because that's what God wants to do. He just wants to bless. And so when I'm obedient to him, I allow him to do what he wants to do to fulfill his heart's desire. And not only does he want to bless us, and don't think carnally with temporary things like a bigger and better house and a new jet ski or something like that. But what he wants to do is he wants to bless us with spiritual things and give us further revelation. He's going to show himself in a very peculiar way. We'll see this in just a minute here to his people. And I believe it's the fruit of their obedience. It's the same for you and I. As we keep obeying God and we live yielded lives to him and we receive his word and then we do his word and we receive his word and then we do his word. It's a beautiful cycle because the more we do it, the more we can see him. See, that's my thing. I want to see him. Nothing in this world is worth me not seeing Jesus. Nothing. Nothing in this world, no fleeting pleasure, no temporary sin is worth cramping my relationship with Jesus. I want to see him daily. I'm not satisfied. After tonight's over, I want to do a second service on Wednesday nights. I don't even want to go home. I want to see Jesus. I want to stay in his word. I want to worship him. I want to keep singing, "Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer," because that's the melody of my heart. I want to see him. And the more that I obey him and yield my life to him, I'm going to see him. And so are you. The more that I receive his word at a Bible study, on the radio, my personal devotions, and I do his word, he's going to show himself to me faithfully. And what's so amazing about Jesus, this is my conviction, is we are forever going to look at him in awe, even in heaven one day. I believe this. I believe that literally, even when we get to heaven and we see him, we're still going to look at him with our jaws to the ground, because it's going to take us all of eternity to just, we're never going to figure him completely out. I believe who he is and his majesty is endless. I really do. I think that's what's going to make heaven so glorious. Every time we look at him, we're just going to be like, oh. It's never going to be like, yeah, I've seen that one before, Lord. Show somebody else, you know. You first date somebody and you think, oh, I can't even eat in front of this person. I'll never forget the first time I took Sean out on a date. We were teenagers. I was like 17 years old. And I'll never forget when we were out to eat. We were at TGI Fridays. I know, I'm a big spender. And I was 17. What do you want from me? So we're at TGI Fridays, and I had a cold. And I always have sinus issues anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But I was eating something hot. You know what I was doing? I was finishing her soup on the first date. I'm like, don't get rid of that. The waitress came. She's like, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're not. Give that to me. And so I was beginning to eat her cheddar broccoli soup, and I'm eating it, and my nose just starts running like crazy.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.